Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, we do come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that from the moment we opened our eyes, Lord, you were there. You took care of us through the night, Lord, took care of our families. Lord, even as we sleep, Lord, you give us dreams. You speak to us at all times, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that there is never a time that you walk away from us, Lord. You're always there, even when we don't hear you or see you, Lord, but you're there. And so, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that as we breathe, it's because of you, Lord, that gives us that breath of life. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just have your way with this congregation today. Lord, that we could in some way just touch your heart this morning, Lord. And we know that you have a lot for us today, Lord. Thank you for this day. And Lord, we just bless who you are. And just to remind you all that this microphone is here for you. Okay? So we pray this in Jesus' name.
You know, try as I may, my flesh will not allow me to be exactly what God wants me to be right now. But I take it by faith that he's going to get me there. And if I walk in him, if I walk in him every day, if I trust him for my life, trust him for every step. He says, the steps of a godly man are ordered. That means there's nothing that's not ordered. Amen? No matter what happens, God is going to make that work for you, not against you. So I say, Lord, press me down and wring me out. I don't want any more of myself. I want more of you. I want to be made in your image, Father. I want to walk like Jesus did. Amen? Amen. Let's sing this song.
That really was a good song. God's really been showing me and pressing on me that in order for us to really know God, we have to spend time before God, reading His Word and praying and being obedient to Him. And He wants us to rest in Him. And we can't rest in Him unless we trust Him. And He's showing me so many of us don't really trust the Lord. And so we have to be obedient to His Word, and we have to, and that way we'll come to know and love God too. When we rest in Him, He'll fight our battles for us, and it's really pretty simple. We just make it very difficult, make it religious and make it a thing of works, when we just have to rest in God, speak His Word. And He said, you know, when Adam and sin and Eve sinned, they lost the rights to the earth, to govern the earth. And Satan ruled. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, He conquered death, He conquered sin, He conquered Satan. And it's the church for the last 2,000 years that has not stepped up to the plate, trusting God and speaking His Word. So now I think God's giving us another chance to move forward and take over, subdue the earth and rule it in a godly way that will bring glory to God. So we have to spend more time with the Lord and know Him before we get to that point. And I'm just praying that God gives us a baptism of fire so we just get on fire for the Lord. So that's all. Thank you.
Just as Steve was speaking, still go along with this last song that we just got done singing. And it reminded me of when Adam and Eve were created. The word says that Adam knew Eve, and then they had a baby, right? And so when we talk about knowing God, there is a lot more intimacy than sometimes we realize. You know, it's knowing, as the song said, the depths of who He is. You have to go deeper than just, read about him or just have someone tell you about him, such as in a sermon. There's a depth about knowing God, and sometimes we just barely scrape the surface. And so knowing is really kind of giving up our thoughts, giving up our view of what we think it should be like. Because I tell you what, I think he's got a lot more that we've never even looked at, that we've never even realized. So as we come before him, and I know Pastor Henry's going to be speaking on this today, that time of being just you and him, doing away with the everyday stuff, let that be that time where you can become vulnerable. He may say things that we don't want to hear, okay? But be ready to accept whatever he has to tell you. And even if you think you got it all together, you don't. So just know that he has something better for you today. And you thought you had it all good yesterday. Well, he's got something better for you today. Be prepared. Be ready. Just allow him to change your life. But know that this is not just surface. This is deep. And what that means to each one of us, only you know that. Thank you.
Jesus came during a Kairos season. And Kairos means fullness of time. And right now, we're in a Kairos season. We've been studying the kingdom. And the message to the church was that we are living in a kingdom. It says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added onto you. Yes. Right now, people are looking at the economy. They're looking at everything that's happening in the world. And they're wondering what's going to happen for tomorrow. It's important that we're in the kingdom. Because we're in a kingdom, we function under a different government, you know. And that government that we are under is a government motivated by faith, love, and giving. And these are the attributes of the kingdom. And when we come into alignment of the king's heart, all things will be given unto you, you know. We have the wealth of heaven at our disposal today. We don't have to wait. He says, all things are yours. The gift, the wealth of heaven is yours for today. But God gave us the keys of the kingdom. We already have the keys to the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom is how to acquire the wealth of heaven. That's what we're going to study Wednesday. And one of the keys of the kingdom that's really important starts with prayer. So today, I just want to say, start with your prayer, and God will open up the doors of heaven to all of you that you can acquire the wealth that's already yours for the taking. Amen?
I just want to share this with everybody here. It's from the Book of Lamentations. Usually when you hear that word, you don't think of anything that's really super upbeat and happy, right?
Come on, bro.
Yeah. Although a few verses before this talks about, I will always remember this awful time. But this is what I'm going to share. It's Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I just want to say, like, if you feel like, you know, maybe God doesn't love you anymore, can't use you anymore, anything like that because of your past, or you haven't really done anything for him, just know that all the time,
hallelujah,
every day, every moment is a new moment. It's a chance for you to have newness, something where you can go ahead and serve God. Because he wants you to serve him. He wants you to be in a relationship with him. And I'll tell you, I'm big on serving. Okay? Not just in the church, but like, you know, one another, people.
Amen. Praise God.
Right? Because, I mean, we're supposed to be doing this all the time. It's not just when we're at church. Okay? If you want to know God better, serve him. Right? But let me just remind you that you're never too far gone.
Amen.
Because God will always, always forgive.
Amen, brother. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are after God's heart? How many of you want to know what God has for you? Can you say amen? How many of you are desiring to see more this year? All right. Last time I spoke, I think I said more for 24. Amen? How many of you want more? I mean, I'll tell you, I'm not satisfied with what God's given me this far. Although He's given me a lot. Amen? He's given us a lot. Man, God has poured out on us like generously. Can you say amen? But I want to see more. I want to see more of what He wants to do. Can you say amen to that? I want to know what He wants to do. Who cares what I want to do? Is that right? My wife already tells me, who cares what you want to do? Yeah, she's in the, whatever. Yeah, there you go. Who cares what you want? I want to know what God wants to do. Can you say amen to that? Because I believe that God has more for us this year. We're going to see more things done this year than we've seen in a long time. Can you say amen? We're going to, I really believe it. Come on. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about it. I am. I'm ready to see the hand of God in Green Valley. Can you say amen? In Corona de Tucson, Nogales, Lower Nogales, Amado. I'm ready to see God doing something that's totally out of the ordinary. Can you say amen? Something that we know, Sarita, yeah. How about Sarita, yeah. How about Green Valley? Did I say Green Valley already? Yeah. Did I say Bisbee? I want to see Bisbee too. Come on. Yeah. Why not? Amen. Come on. I'm ready to see God do whatever He wants to do. God, have your way. Is that all right? Let the kingdom of God be exposed in the earth today. Amen. I mean, I'm not looking for this futuristic kingdom. A lot of people don't think they got to do anything because, you know, it's coming. Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, well, no. It's now. It's here now, and it's within us. And we got to allow it to be revealed in the earth. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Let God do what He wants to do through your life. Is that okay? Amen? Amen. Be careful. Amen. He might send you somewhere you don't want to go. Is that all right? Be careful, but if you go, the blessing of the Lord will be upon you. Can you say amen to that? And you're going to say, man, I'm so glad I didn't want to go, but I'm so glad I went.
Yes.
Because God touched somebody. God did something. God was seen by some folks. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm glad you are here. Thank you, worship team. And if anybody wants to play behind me, that'd be great. That's okay. I guess nobody wants to do that. So, all right, we'll do that. Praise the Lord. How is everybody today? This is my first Sunday for 2024. Amen? And I'm excited about preaching this. I know that God has been talking to my heart about spending more time with Him. And as I make that decision to spend more time with Him, I hear Him speaking to my heart saying, you need to let the people know. I want to hear them. I want them in their closet. Can you say amen? God wants you in that place. As a matter of fact, our power verse is Matthew 6:6. And the power verse is, I want to have Abe put that up real quick. It says, but thou, when you pray, is that what it says? You. Okay, it's King James, so don't worry about the thou. You. Look at your neighbor and say, you. You. Make it personal. Look at the one on the other side and say, you. You, S.A. You, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, is that right? Pray your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. That's a good word. Folks, that's enough to walk out of here with if you just think about, if you just meditate on this scripture. He says, close the door. What does he mean by close the door? Forget about your plants. Yeah. Forget about your truck. Forget about your vehicles. Forget about your house, how the roof is. Forget about all that. Just get into your closet and shut the door that's closing off all those things and pray to your Father. Forget about your cat. Yeah. Come on. Forget about your neighbor's dog that's messing up your yard. And you got to clean it. Whatever it is, forget about it and get into his presence. Get into that secret place with God. How many of you know that Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How many say amen to that? That's probably one of the, that is probably the most popular psalm that we had that has ever been. But I love it. And it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean, under the shadow? I mean, he's standing right there with you, casting a shadow on you. It's kind of saying, stand right here, man. And ain't nothing going to hurt you, my friend. Just stay right here. Just stay right here with me. And watch how God takes care of you. Can you say amen to that? How many of you know that God is saying to us today, if you will enter into my rest. How many of you know what rest is? Does anybody know what rest is? Some folks don't, man. They're always moving, always going. Hey, enter into my rest is what he says. Huh. How many like to rest? Oh, boy, I love to rest. Yeah. Especially when I've been doing something a lot, you know. Especially when I've gotten to all those chores that Rosie has, you know, all the lists I have. Oh, babe, I got it done. I got one more. Yeah, whatever. Come on, man. Enter into my rest. God wants you to enter. You know what that means, to enter into his rest? It means that he's already done everything for you. Why are you struggling? Why are you fighting? Enter into his rest and allow him just to bring things to you. Is that okay? Is that all right? He will take you to where you need and what you need. He will touch you in a way you maybe haven't been touched in a while, because you're in his presence. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, in his presence, you're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, he's my refuge. My refuge, my what? Anybody else know that? Yeah. I better quit trying to quote stuff, because it's going to make me look really crazy. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But I mean, how many of you like the stories about David? I'm going to kind of set you up a little bit with a story that we're going to get into here about David. King David was, well, he was a giant slayer. Can you say amen to that? He went after Goliath. Where nobody else in the camp of Israel, the military camp, were all standing there shivering and shaking because of this great big giant that was out there challenging Israel. David, the young man, he took, I was telling Pastor John that he took some cheese, right? And he took some parched corn. You know what that is? Nachos. That's, come on, man. He took them nachos. And he goes and he shows up. He goes, "Boys, I got your nachos." And he's looking at this guy, and he's looking at this giant. He goes, "What's with the big guy? What's he talking about?" He defined Israel. And all the guys, when they looked at Goliath, they left their nachos and went and hid. David's going, "What's going on, man? I'm going to take care of this right now. I'm going to finish this guy off." Can you say amen to that? I don't know if David had a dream about that. It doesn't say in Scripture that David had a dream about Goliath, about slaying this giant with his own sword, with a rock. Amen? But David went out there anyway. So David's getting pretty popular with he slayed the giant. He's getting popular with all the people, especially with the ladies. Amen? Saul's watching what's happening. As David comes back from a battle, here comes the ladies of Israel, and they're saying, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul goes, "Wow." He paid attention to what they're saying. Is that right? How many know sometimes you just got to pay no attention to what the people are talking about? Can you say amen to that? Who cares what they think about you? As long as you know what he thinks about you, who cares what they think about you? Can you say amen to that? If your connection with him is good, then you're good. Let them say whatever they want to say. But you're good. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But then, well, David is in the, getting ready to have dinner with Saul, and Saul's getting pretty jealous of David. And the Bible says that he took a javelin and tossed it, tried to pin David to the wall. This is the most powerful man in Israel trying to kill one of his generals. He had promoted David to over most of his army. David escaped, talked to Saul's son, said, "Man, Saul hates me. He goes, "Nah, he don't hate you." So he talked him into going back, and then Saul did it again. He tried to kill him. So after that, Jonathan told David, "Well, David, I guess you're right. He is trying to kill you. You better leave. You better get out of here." So David takes off. He didn't even go for his stuff. How many of you know sometimes there's a time to run? Is that right? David's not a running type of person. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I mean, when he stood in front of that giant, the only place he ran was towards the giant. So he's not this kind of a runner. But when he's been threatened by an anointed king, can you say amen to that? David has a whole different scenario that he's looking at, because he respects God's choice. And he goes, okay. So he takes off. He runs. And the first place he runs to a place called, what's that name of that city? What's that? Somebody say it again. Nop. Nod. Nob. It's called Nob. N-O-B. I had to go through my alphabet. It's a Nob. He runs to Nob, and he goes, the first place he goes is to where the priests are, because he knows the priest. He knows the priest should be right with God. Can you say amen? And this priest was right. Ahimelech was his name. And then Ahimelech looks and he goes, "Hey, David, what's up, man? What are you doing here, man?" And David says, "Well, I'm on a mission." "What kind of mission?" "I'm running from Saul." No, he didn't tell him that. He goes, "Hey, I'm on a mission. Saul has sent me on a mission." He goes, "Do you have any bread here?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, I got bread. It's the holy bread. It's a day old. And I've already set new bread on. But the guys that are with you, if as long as they've been away from women," he goes, "you can have it." You know, David said, "I'll take it." He didn't have anybody with him. He was on his own. He was by himself. He goes, "I'll take the bread." He takes the bread and he tells him, "Hey, Ahimelech, do you have any weapons here?" He's asking a priest. What's a priest going to do with weapons? He goes, "Do you have any weapons here?" And he goes, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. I got the sword of Goliath here. You know that sword, the one that you chopped his head off with?" David goes, "There ain't no sword like that sword." He says, "Give me that sword." So David takes the sword and he leaves Ahimelech. And from Ahimelech, he goes to a king, the king of Gaza. He, you know, the Gaza Strip. He goes to this king of Gaza, and he's looking. The guy's name is Achan. Achan King. My Achan back. My Achan, but his name is Achan. But he goes to him, and he goes, "Hey, He doesn't talk to the king, but the king's servants take David before him. And while he's talking, while the servants are in there, they're talking, and David hears the servants talking about him. They said, one of the servants said, dude, this guy looks like that guy David. Another guy goes, "David, what David? You know David." And what's cool about it, if you look at the story, you're going to see that they called him the king of Israel. How many of you know that David was a king? He was already anointed. Samuel had already anointed David to be king. But these two guys, the Achish's is servants, they're saying, "Man, this guy looks like David, bro." He goes, "Why? You think so?" "Yeah," he goes. And so they're looking at him, and David hears them talking. One of them says, "Hey, you know David. He's the one that said Saul has slain his 10,000, or his thousands, but David has slayed his 10,000? He goes, "Oh, yeah, I've heard that." He goes, "Yeah, well, that's him." He goes, "No, I don't know, man. What's he doing here? I don't know, but I think that's him." "Yeah, it was him." How many say amen? "It's him. Come on, man." So he goes, "Well," he goes, "oh." David hears them talking about him. He knows that he's been discovered. He knows that they know who he is. So when they take him into Achan, David starts dribbling from his mouth. Bleep. What do they call that? Spittle starts falling. You want to call it spit? I mean, he starts drooling. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Drooling. Vavas, is that what we call it? Vavas in Spanish, it's called Vavas. Just rolling out, man. And he starts scribbling on the wall. And Achan looks at him and he says, why'd you bring me this crazy man? I don't need crazy. Do I need crazy men in my army? Get him out of here. So David leaves there. And he ends up at a place called the Cave of Adullam. And this cave, I mean, he's hiding. And his family find out that, hey, you know what? David's in this cave. And so his whole family, mom, dad, all the other brothers, they go to him in the cave. And then there's about 400 other people show up. And I like to call them the three D's. They were in debt. I don't know, maybe I should call it four D's, but I don't know. They were in debt. They were disgusted about what Saul was doing. There's another word. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know. I think I might have wrote them down. The three D's. Oh, it's the distressed, the discontented, and the ones in debt. These people came to him while he was at the Cave of Adullam. He actually formed his army out of these guys, the ones that are in debt, discontented. Isn't that crazy? This is David's army he's feeling, you know. They're all discontent. Can you imagine, hey, there's going to be trouble here, man. Can you say that? Can you say, man, can you foresee that? Well, he's talking to them, and he says, you know, we got to get out of this cave. So he goes over to another king, and he's a king of Moab, and he asks him, he goes, hey, can I bring my mom and my dad here so that I can leave them here until I find out what God wants to do with me? Isn't that crazy? Read the story. It's a beautiful story. Why would he want to drop his mom and dad and all of his brothers and sisters off to another king, get them out of Israel and show them? Why would he want to do that? He was an enemy to the throne. David was Saul's enemy. So being that David is Saul's enemy, in those days, it made his whole family Saul's enemy. He had to get them out of there and place them somewhere where he would be comfortable knowing that they're okay. Is that okay? That's a good man. Can you say amen to that? That's a good man. While he's doing that, Saul is back and he's frustrated because he can't find David. And he's sitting under a tree in Ramah, and he asks, he goes, who is on my side, is what he says to all of his troops. Who's on my side? And he looks, nobody. He says, which one of you is going to tell me where David is? Which one of you are going to tell me how that David has made a conspiracy with my own son to remove me from being king? Which one of you are going to tell me that? And then he says this. I love this part. None of you want to feel sorry for me. Come on, man. Isn't that good? Tell your troops, you're the leader, you don't feel sorry for me. Why won't you tell me? Well, finally, there was a man named Doeg. When David had gone to see Ahimelech in Nob, N-O-B, when he was there, Doeg saw David with Ahimelech. And he saw that Ahimelech gave him bread and a sword. So he tells him, he goes, I saw it, king. And so the king called for Ahimelech and all the priests of Nob. And they show up in Jerusalem. And Saul asks Ahimelech, why did you give him? He's my enemy. Ahimelech, what are you talking about? What do you mean he's your enemy? He serves you. He's your most faithful man. What do you mean he's... And he goes, no, he's my enemy. And why did you serve him? You have conspired against me, is what he tells Ahimelech. And he tells his men, slay the priests of the Lord. Wow. Talk about getting pretty low in the in the righteousness level. He tells them, slay them, slay them. His men said, I ain't doing it. Smart guys, can you say amen? I'm not doing it. Guess who stands up? Doeg says, I'll do it. And Doeg killed 85 priests. And then Saul attacked the city of Nob, killed all the women, killed all the children, killed all the animals. Remember when Samuel had told him to go against that of the king Agag and told him to slay everything, and Saul kept all the good stuff. He kept all the best cattle and all the best sheep. Well, here he is in a righteous town doing something very, very contrary to what God would want. Killed all of them. Wiped them all out. And that's where I'm going to bring you to where we're at. And I want to read this because David's in this. How many, anybody see The Fugitive? Anybody here? How many, which one did you see? Anybody see the one with David Jansen? How many of you like that? I used to watch that with my mom. Yeah, we'd watch it every week. A new one would come out, and he'd just get this close from finding it, and then he was gone. I said, come on, man. I loved watching The Fugitive. And then, of course, when the movie came out with Harrison Ford, how many saw that one, The Fugitive? How many of you liked that movie? Yeah. Pretty good. I liked that movie. In that one, he caught him, amen? That's why I liked it. I said, this thing is like that other series. I'll never watch A Fugitive again. Well, here David's a fugitive. How many say amen? He's running for his life. One step. I've seen this song. I wrote it down because I was thinking about it. One jump ahead of the slow pokes. One skip ahead of my doom. Have you ever heard that song? That's Aladdin. One jump ahead of the slow pokes. One step ahead of my doom. This is what David was living, man. This is what kind of life David was living. Man, he's one step ahead. Can you say amen to that? Right when he'd leave, Saul would show up. Right when he'd go, Saul would go over there, and then David would be leaving. Can you say amen to that? One step. What was his one step? The steps of a good man. Who said that this morning? Are ordered by the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to start in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 23. Can we read there? It was a long, I know, I'm sorry. That was a kind of a long introduction. Is that okay? But here we are. One other thing is that when Saul killed all the animals and all the people of Nob, one of Ahimelech's son got away. And his name was Ahitub. And he ran to David. He ran over where David was, and he told David about what happened. David actually told him, I occasioned that. I know, I saw him. I saw Doeg. I saw him looking. And see, Doeg was a shepherd for Saul. He was one of the chief shepherds for Saul. So David told Ahitub that. He goes, hey, man, I kind of knew it was going to happen because I saw it. So here we are in chapter 23. Read these stories because they're beautiful. And it's really good to see the kind of thing that how David the fugitive, I can't remember the song how it went, but anyway, the fugitive was running from Saul. And it says, and they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. I love this first scripture because David, even in the middle of all that he's running, when the Philistines attacked one of Judah's cities, David was still a man of war. Can you say amen to that? Now he had 400 or 500 men, maybe 600 by this time, but he's still a man of war. And he is not so focused on Saul getting him. Can you say amen to that? Why? Because he believed and he trusted in the living God. Can you say amen to that? I believe that David would say, hey man, I trust in you, God. Especially when Saul would kill 85 of his priests, of God's priests. I believe that David knew what side of the wall he was on. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. Hallelujah. And here he is. He hears about the Philistines attacking the city of Judah. And he says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? This is the greatest thing about a man of God or a woman of God, that you ask God. You ask him. Because if you know, if you trust him, he's going to answer you. He won't be too late. Sometimes, well, God just answered too late. I went ahead and bought the car. What was his name? Kenneth Copeland. He's praying. He said, God, should I buy this plane? But he's looking at this big plane. Can I buy this? Should I buy this plane? God wouldn't answer him. Finally, he says, well, God's not answering, so I guess it's okay. He didn't say yes or no. How many of you ever done that before? Yeah. So he bought the plane. A month later, the plane breaks. I mean, jet engine goes out. I don't know what happened to it, but it breaks down. Kenneth Copeland is crying before God. God, your plane is broke. Your plane is broke. I can't make it to where I need to go. Your plane is broke. God said, I didn't tell you to buy that plane. You bought the plane. Your decision. Can I tell you, sometimes we make decisions before we need to. Can you say amen to that? If you belong to God, God knows what you need. He knows where you're at. He's not going to let you down. Can you say amen to that? Can you rest that God is with you and not against you? Can you rest in that fact? So here he is. He goes, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go, smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Praise God. David tells his men, he says, and David's men said to him, behold, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? They're in the middle of Judah. They're in the wilderness of Judah. If you look in your Bible, you're going to see that it could be either the wilderness of Judah or the wilderness of Kesh, I think is the word. Nevertheless, David's men are worried about him going down, about all of them going down to attack the Philistines, because Saul is not too far away. He's going to hear about it. And they don't want to die. How many say amen? How many would like to? No, I don't want to die. So his men kind of talk him out of it. And he says, David's men said to him, behold, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And David inquired of the Lord again. Smart man. Can you say amen? Well, maybe it's just me. He's got to go down there. No. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle, smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Can you see what God's doing? God is providing for David and his 400, maybe 500, maybe 600 men. God is providing. He's saying, man, go down, man, and you're going to come away with everything because of who you are, David, and how you trust me. That's the way that, you know, God wants you to trust him just that same way. Can you say amen? And it came to pass that when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David in Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, oh, God has delivered him into my hand. What a mindset. Can you say amen? What a mindset. Thinking that he can do wrong and still God's going to bless him. What a mindset. Folks, that's not a good mindset. Can you say amen? That you think you can do wrong and God's still going to bless you? Don't ever pick up that mindset. Can you say amen? I'm talking to you, friend. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. Can you say amen? Don't do it. Don't talk about that person. Don't walk in unforgiveness. Don't do anything that's contrary to God and expect him to say, that's a good thing. Yeah, you're good. Don't ever do that. Hallelujah. Yo, God loves you. You know why? He gave his son for you. He loves you. But don't ever get in your mind that you're doing, that you can do something wrong and he's okay with it. Can you say amen to that? That's a pretty weak amen, but I mean, whatever. Amen. Pretty weak, amen. Yeah, there you go, amen. Everybody's going, I'm sorry, God. Yeah, repent now, amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Where was I? What verse? Number eight. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring here the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel. Check this out. Listen, I love the communication. See, David had a face-to-face, one-on-one communication with God. How many of you have that? Don't answer. Don't even answer that question. Because whatever, I know that God desires this kind of life before him. Can you say amen to that? David said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech you, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he's coming down. He will come down. I love it. Don't you? I don't know. I love this kind of... conversation. And said David, well, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you up. Come on, man. Isn't that cool? Isn't it cool how David has an insight? How he has he has the Lord to tell him, yeah, Saul will come down. Will they deliver me? Yeah, they'll deliver you up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went wheresoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. Praise God. Saul says, oh, well, he left, so I'm not going. Verse 14 and 15, and David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. There's the name of that wilderness. Ziph and Judah. It's the wilderness of Judah. It's also the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Who delivered him? God did. David was under the hand of God. Can you say amen to that? He was abiding under the shadow. Them feathers that we read about in Psalm 91, they were over him. They were taking care of him. Can you say amen to that? David knew it. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. So one of the things I just want to talk to you about is the prayer. But I want to take you to the prayer. Do you guys, how many of you guys, it probably says in your Bible, so when we get there, if you go to your Bible, and Psalm 63 is a prayer that David wrote while he was in the wilderness of Judah, when he was running from Saul. Okay? Might have also been, he was also in that wilderness another time, but he was running from somebody else. Does anybody remember who he was running from? He was running from his old son. He was running from Absalom. But it's believed that this psalm was written while David was running from Saul. So if you will, let's go to Psalm 63. And I'm just going to read this thing just a little bit, because I believe that God is looking for people that will have this kind of a personal relationship with him. See, we tell people all the time, I have a personal relationship with God. And God might be saying, you do? When? When does that happen? Yeah. God is looking for you to be in his presence so he can talk to you. He can show you things. He can move you in places where you need to be going. He can provide for you the things he wants to provide for you. But sometimes we're just too busy to be in there. I want you to consider the last really good time that you spent with God in his presence, just you and him. I want you to just think about that a little bit and say, God, and just remember, because there's times when I don't want to quit worshiping God. I don't want to stop this thing I'm feeling. Can you say amen to that? There's this presence of God sometimes when I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I just don't want to stop this. You know, well, it's time to stop. Here is Psalm 63. Is when David was in this wilderness, the top of my, right underneath Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And he says, "Oh God, thou art my God." That's the first thing that comes out of my, God, you're my God. Can you say amen to that? I want to talk to you about a heart-to-heart conversation with God. God doesn't just want you to tell you all your needs and get up and walk off. He wants a heart-to-heart conversation with him. How are you feeling? What do you sense? What is it that you're thinking? What is causing you to think the way you're thinking? He wants this conversation that David starts out, God, you are my God. You, God, you're my God. That's how he starts his prayer. Woo! What a good way to start out. You're my God. Imagine God going, whoa, who said that? Oh, David, yeah, look at that. Come on, man. Oh, yeah. God, you're my God. I'm saying it so hard, I'm knocking off my earpiece. Praise God. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He's not even close to Jerusalem like he's been. He is now in the wilderness of Judah. And he's letting God know about some of these things. God already knows it. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. Here's his prayer in the middle of this thing going on with Saul. He's saying, your loving kindness is better than life. I'm going to praise you. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Amen? Come on, man. He's letting God know, this is how I'm living, God. I'm going to continually praise you. Yeah, he's trying to kill me. Yeah, I'm one jump ahead of the, never mind. One jump ahead of the poke. Anyway. Even though my life is hanging in the balance with a mighty king, I'm going to praise you, God. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Meditate on you in the night watches. Remember you on my bed. Bringing to remembrance the things of God. Has God done things for you? Do you ever rehearse them to yourself? Have you ever spoken to yourself the things of God that he's done for you? Have you ever allowed him to bless you by just thinking on the things he's done for you and how blessed you are? How good you have it because he cares for you and he wants you to know that he always cares for you. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. There's that shadow again, the wings again. David knew the protection of God. Can you say amen to that? My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. You're the only thing, God. Yeah, I'm out here with this bunch of, however, in debt. Disgruntled, I can't remember all of this, disappointed, all those guys, here I am with them. And I'm, Father, you are with me. Hey, my soul follows hard after you, my right hand upholds, your right hand upholds me. But those that seek my soul, and I believe David begins to prophesy about his enemy right here. But they that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, and they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king, what king is he talking about? He's talking about him. He's talking about, I've been anointed to be a king, even though I'm out here running like a fugitive. The king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I believe 2024 is the time when God wants you to spend time with him. Just you. You know, we've been real good for going to lots of big prayer meetings, and we go to a lot of Christian concerts, and we do a lot of things like that. But God is calling you into his closet. He's calling you to know him and know what he has for you personally. I'm not saying that any of those things are bad. Some people will jump on a plane, fly all the way to Washington, D.C., so they can pray on the mall and be there with thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people praying on the mall, yet they will not go into their closet. God is saying it's time to enter into your closet. You were bought with a price. You need to see what he has for you. I mean, forget what Henry has for you. I ain't got nothing for you. All I got is what God gives me to give you. Can you say amen to that? That's all I've got. He opens my mouth. I have to be, you know, I'm not a watchman. I'm a pastor. And God says, speak what I give you to speak. Don't give him anything else but what I give you. I said, I'll do that. If I try to give you anything else, talk about an anointing shriveling up. Isn't that right? The anointing will shrivel quickly when I go to give you just my thoughts. But what God gives me to give, oh, I have a tendency to say, tell Rosie, nobody is listening to me. Nobody's listening to me. And it's okay. This place, folks, listen, this place is here to build and strengthen the body of Christ, whoever they might be. Can you say amen to that? The seeds that are coming out of this house, not only from me, but from Pastor John, from Abe, from Rebecca, from Randy, from all the folk, all of you, all those seeds that are coming out of you are strengthening and building. That's why we have this mic up front. The Holy Spirit said, Henry, put a mic up front for my people. That's why we do this. Some people think it's crazy, and I don't care, because the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do this, because he's expecting every one of you to open your mouth and say something that will bless the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that? The Holy Spirit will sort it out for you. Do you say amen? He'll sort it. Let him sort it. You don't understand? Ask him. You don't get it? Ask him. Some folks won't even take the word that's being spoken here and look at it. They won't. Why? They're happy in what they've got. And say, maybe God wants to give you more. Can you say amen to that? God's trying to move you into something bigger and better, and you're just happy. Oh, I'm so content in doing what I have always done. This is the way I've always done it. Well, God says, I want you to come after me so that you might be strengthened and grow as for who I have created you to be. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. David, how many times did Daniel, I have to ask this morning, how many times did Daniel pray? How many times a day? Three times a day, is that right? And David writes a scripture, I guess. Here's Psalm 55:17. Can you look at that? It says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening, morning, and at noon. Folks, he might not be trying to give you advice, but that's a good thing right there. Evening, morning, and at noon. How long does evening last? Woo, come on. It can be quite a while. How long does the morning last? Well, till noon. Amen. How long does noon last? Well, noon is probably just a little part, but then afterwards it's evening. Is that right? So guess what, folks? Paul the Apostle said, pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Your prayers are important to God. Can you say amen to that? What you tell him and what he tells you in the closet is important. Can you say amen to that? What a friend we have in Jesus. How to get you to play this, Steve? What a friend we have in Jesus, right? What a privilege, right? To do what? To go to him in prayer. Is that right? What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is asking for you to pray. He might not be asking you to, you know what, go next door and go talk to this person. He's saying pray. And then from that place, from that position, he'll tell you what to do. Go next door and pray, do this. Go over to the house. Go over to the church. Go tell Henry he's full of it. Whatever, man. Is that okay? Watch this last scripture. Psalm 119. This is verse 119, verse 164. This is what David said. I think it's 119, 164. I'm sorry, did I write it down up there? Mm-hmm. 119, 164. He says, what? How many times a day? Seven. See, it's getting worse now, isn't it? Oh, man, that looks like I got to pray all day long, I guess. Well, I guess. Can you say amen? 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Folks, can I tell you something? Do you know what he's talking about when he's talking about righteous judgments? Do you know what he's saying? It's a simple way of saying, Lord, should I go to Key Island? And God says, go. That's a simple judgment. Talks to his man. He goes, hey, guys are scared. Lord, do you want me to go? And he says, go, and you're going to deliver everything. You're going to receive, you're going to get everything. You see, God's judgments are simple. And this is what David says, because of your righteous judgment. You know why? He's hearing in prayer what to do, where to go, and what to say, and what to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can you stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2024, more. But that more, folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. That more is coming out of your prayer closet. That's where it's going to be at. The more is, you know what? He's giving you houses. Amen? How many of you say, yeah, he's giving me a house? How many of you say, yeah, he's giving me vineyards? Yeah, we got vineyards. Yeah, anybody got a vineyard? I got a vineyard. It's the wine of the Holy Ghost. I'm living in my vineyard. Can you say amen to that? How many of you have vineyards? Anybody got a vineyard? Yeah, come on, man. This year is going to be a year of prayer and doing what you hear in prayer. Can you say amen? I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you this morning for all the brothers and sisters who are here. And not only for those that are here, but those that will hear on the podcast, Father God. I pray, God, that you will, Father God, give them a desire, Father. Let a deep desire to spend time in your presence. You are our God. You are the one we serve, Father. We don't serve ourselves. We serve you, Father. So, Father, I pray that you would give them that desire to spend time with you, to hear your voice, to pick up those precious, precious judgments that you want to give them for their lives. Father, I thank you for them. Bless them as they go, Father God. Let your kingdom be exposed in the earth through them, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand. Hey, jump a little bit, man.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.